So let's take our Bibles, and as we continue our study, 1 Timothy, let's turn to chapter 6, and this will be a two-part message as we look at the characteristics of a godly person. We have one verse that we want to look at tonight, and it's verse 11, so follow with me as I read it for you. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Well, the title man of God, it says here, but thou, O man of God, this title was periodically used in the Old Testament to describe a number of men. And one of those men was Moses. Another one was the prophet sent to pronounce judgment on Eli's house. We have Eli's successor, Samuel, who was called a man of God. The prophet Shemaiah, who rebuked King Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12, was called a man of God. Amaziah, Elijah, Elisha, and David, these all were called men of God. Peter used this plural phrase, men of God, to refer to those individuals who authored the Old Testament. I'm sure you remember that verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Now, this phrase, man of God, is used only in the New Testament to describe Timothy. Again, verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, but thou, O man of God. However, this title can be used of any preacher who is utterly devoted, faithful to obey and to proclaim God's word. I think of that portion of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse beginning with verse 14, Paul again talking to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast learned or known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then I'm sure a number of you know these next two verses. Say them with me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that word perfect means complete, and thoroughly means completely furnished, completely. In other words, when the word of God is applied to the heart of an individual, that man, that person, becomes a man, a woman of God. All Scripture is given. It's inspired by God. It's profitable. And what does it do? It teaches us doctrine. It reproves us. It corrects us so that we will understand what righteousness is. And thus, becoming men and women of God, we grow, we mature, we become equipped to do good works. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, Paul lists four specifics that mark a man of God. Well, this evening, I want us to look at two of them, and they're found again in verse 11. A man of God flees, a man of God follows after. Well, let's look at the first point. And that is, a man of God flees. He avoids certain things. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. The Greek word for flee gives us our English word fugitive. Someone who's on the run, trying to avoid capture.
And so we are to be spiritually, if we are to be a man, a woman of God, we need to have a fugitive mentality. When someone has a fugitive mentality, how do they think? You are alert, you are serious about staying free, staying alive. And this is the mentality we need to have. I either survive or I don't. I either live or I don't live. What are we to flee from as a fugitive? Well, the present tense of this verb flee indicates that a man of God is constantly fleeing these things. He's not fleeing the law. So what is he fleeing? Well, according to the Word of God, a man of God is fleeing sexual sin. 1 Corinthians 6:10 tells us to flee fornication. Joseph, that's a beautiful example. 1 Corinthians 10:14 tells us that the man of God is fleeing idolatry. We are to flee youthful lusts. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. Those are all good reasons to wear out our spiritual running shoes. We are to be a fugitive in respect to sexual sin, idolatry, youthful lusts. But as one author states, the direct antecedent, or in other words, what comes before these things in verse 11 refers to the evils associated with loving what? Money. The evils associated with loving money. And we saw that. We studied that. Notice verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of what? All evil, which some having coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. No wonder we are to be a fugitive that runs from the love of money. I mean, that's pretty strong. You have erred. You have turned away from the faith. You have pierced yourselves through with many sorrows. I mean, that's serious. The cardinal sin of false teachers is love of money. They pervert the truth for personal gain. You find a false teacher, and I guarantee you, he will love money. Remember the many greedy prophets of Israel. How about a false prophet who loved money? Balaam. He sold himself to the highest bidder. Certainly today, money is too often what controls the mouthpiece of preachers. They prostitute the truth of God's word for personal gain, for the bigger church, for the praise of men. Can I just say it? I mean, we all like that pat on the back. And I would be lying if I said I don't appreciate your encouragement. But I'll tell you, to be very frank with you, the praise of men lasts that long. You want the approval of God. Friends, a man of God guards his heart against love of money. I think this is one of the most beautiful passages or testimonies in the Bible. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 20. Notice Paul's words to the Ephesian elders, and let's begin with verse 33. Keeping in mind that Paul fled, he ran from the love of money. Verse 33, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. In other words, I have worked to provide for my own well-being, my own the means that has sustained me, And also I have worked to provide for them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can have a giving heart and a covetous heart at the same time. If you have problems with coveting things, work on your giving. Become a giver, and you'd be surprised how much comes back to you. Give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You find a preacher who loves God rather than gold, he will be faithful to preach and teach both by precept and example, the whole counsel of God. Our second characteristic of a man of God, he not only flees from the corrupting love of money, he follows after that which leads to holiness, that which marks a virtuous life. In verse 11 here, Paul lists six qualities that every man of God follows after, what he pursues. Think about the word pursue, what that means. I mean, if you're pursuing something or someone, you're putting your heart into it. These are things that you pursue, and they are righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, the first two are general qualities. Righteousness is an external behavior which refers to what is right in relation to both God and man. And keep in mind, this righteousness described here is not Christ's righteousness imputed to us, the standing that we have that comes to us at salvation, but rather practical, holy living. It's living out our new nature in Christ. It's being dead to sin, but alive unto God. The point is, the man of God is marked by obedience to God's commands. He is known for doing what is right. And righteousness' internal counterpart is godliness. While righteousness references outward behavior, godliness pertains to attitudes and motives. And this is where some of the deepest spiritual battles take place. Because right behavior flows from right attitudes and motives, Satan doesn't want Christians living with right attitudes and right motives. So how does a man of God follow after righteousness and godliness? How does he do that? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin with verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain, or that ye may win. Pursue the prize. Pursue the goal. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. He has self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I have a goal, but I keep under my body, and here is the key, and I bring it into what? Subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or disapproved, rejected. If you and I are to have right motives and right attitudes that will bring to pass righteousness, you and I have to learn to pray and pray hard. And thereafter, Paul lists two internal virtues, and we have faith and we have love. What is faith but simply and fully trusting God in everything? It is believing who God is. Friends, when you believe that God is God and he is above all, he transcends everything, doesn't it become easier for you to believe that he is a mighty God? And that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And love, this is agape love. And this love is volitional. It chooses to love. As one author writes, it is an unrestricted, unrestrained, encompassing love for God, other believers, and non-Christians. What a beautiful way to describe love. Unrestricted and unrestrained, encompassing love for God, for other believers, and the unsaved. This love fulfills the two greatest commandments, loving God and loving our neighbor. I mean, you think about the degree we are to love others. And this love of God is then poured through the heart of the man of God to others. Then Paul concludes this list of spiritual qualities, that which we are to follow after, pursue, mentioning two external virtues, patience and meekness. The Greek word for patience means to remain under. It has the idea of persevering with the task, the circumstance at hand, no matter what the cost. The patient man doesn't quit. He keeps on. The patient preacher doesn't quit. He keeps on preaching the word, even during difficult times, even during COVID times. He always preaches the word. He perseveres. And the Greek word for meekness means kindness, gentleness. The truth here is the man of God is marked by, I love this, considerate humility. He understands, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. By the way, when you have a humble heart, that humble heart will translate into how you treat others. You find someone that's high and mighty and full of himself, and that comes across in how that person treats others. John Bunyan rightly expressed this attitude when he wrote, "He who is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide." Oh, may each of us be men and women of God, because we flee sin. We flee the trap of loving money, loving things, and we follow after, we pursue becoming like Christ. How we need to live out a godly, righteous life that's marked by faith, by love, by patience, and by meekness. And it's all to the glory of God. How you live, how I live, should point people to how beautiful God is. People looked at your life, what would they think of God?